Yes.
I just have one question of the future of the contacting areas of utopia dreams, but what kind of service would you, each of you, do if you would have the support and the money to do that? Related to, I think you know when you see what you have now. But if somebody would give you the huge amount of money to carry on some kind of archiving activity, what would you spend on?
I'd love to do that from day one, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really. I would publish as much as I can. And I would teach the public how to use the sources in the digital environment. It's very important. And I would organize users' movement across the country to make them build their own representation from the building blocks, the digital building blocks, the digits. I can provide that and load it back to the internet to show up their own identity. And and last, I would translate to show to the European community and the world the Hungarian culture. They translate from those sources as well.
It's unusual to hear somebody from an archive legal deposit being so open about that.
And I would invite very clever lawyers.
If somebody gave me a lot of money to do work with archival access, which is what I think you mean by services, we call it access, in my part of the world, I would be very interested. If you imagine that this is the universe of archival material, right? I'd like to try to build social consensus such that we draw a line. Right? So in addition to the material, but these are also all the different kinds of uses, right? So you have high-end documentaries, you have commercials, you have not to mean anything by putting it on the bottom, you have student work, activist work, community work, avant-garde and experimental. And I think as a society, and maybe even as a global society, if we can figure out how to draw a line where everything below this line is public interest use, it's art, it's criticism, it's educational, it's not for profit, it's work within the extended family, it's work to friends. Below this line, it's assumed that it's free. Above this line, it's where a billable event begins to occur. And then it's clear, you know, in a normal, laborious, one-time, pay-per-use way. And what I think should happen is that the users of archives and the custodians of archives should come up with some consensus of what's fair, so that we don't have to rely on fair use and fair dealing, which are not rights, but rather defenses in court. And then suddenly it becomes possible to create a lot more work, and the culture cultural exchange is assisted and accelerated by the increased availability of material. And then I think ultimately it makes more money for copyright holders, because there will be more archivally based work that will rise above the bar and suddenly start to make money and become billable. That's what I would do if somebody gave me, you know, a few million dollars, was build consensus. I support Creative Commons, you know, strongly, but the critique of Creative Commons is that it reifies copyright, that it takes copyright as a given. It doesn't critically question regimes of property ownership and the distribution of property. Although you're trying to do it internationally, it's very, very important using Creative Commons as a wrench to, but anyway.
I would do what he said, basically, but actually my emphasis would be on that very last part, a bit about the layers. It's easy to say, but BBC doesn't own very much of that 600,000 hours. It really just doesn't own it. And it's devastating because it's sitting there moulding on the shelf. You're just kind of looking at it going, great, it's never going to make any money, it's never going to do anything, no one's ever going to broadcast it again, and I still can't release it because I either don't know who owns it, or the cost of individually clearing it is just prohibitive.
You have to pay to give it away, right?
Yeah, we do.
You have to pay yourself to give it away.
We have to pay ourselves and we have to pay rights holders. It is very strange. So most of my money would go on acquiring rights.
I think it's really frightening what is happening. On the one hand, it's liberating for a historian because everybody becomes interested in the past. People spend more and more their lifetimes dealing with issues of the past. If they are interested in watching the BBC television archive, then it would take 68 years of their lifetime just to watch those movies, but there are other television stations with their own archives, and also there is the Prelinger film archive. So you can spend, well, a few hundred years of your lifetime just watching and not reading anything, not listening to anything, not doing anything else. It seems that if this goes on, that instead of living in the present, our children will, or even ourselves, will live in the past. This is very reassuring for a historian, but I hope that this will not happen. I don't know what will happen. It's very difficult to find out what will happen because the technology is available and it's impossible not to use that technology. It's there, and somehow we feel that we should do this. We feel that we have a duty to preserve because it's not ours, but probably other next generations will find out how to use those things. Most probably we have much better technology of classifying and retrieval and search, but as we heard this morning, a search technology becomes infected. And so we will have an infected technology used in the archives, which will infect the retrieved material by the help of those search technologies. So it's very difficult to foresee what's happening. And with all these fears on my mind, we are very near to announcing a huge new global project. I'm not ready to announce it, but it's something huge and once more very frightening and dangerous, but we are not in the position of not doing this. So,
what you define as a retreat, spending all your time looking at historical material, when you worry about the children, I actually define that as an engagement. When you take on the task of it, I mean, unless you sit and watch TV shows all the time. But if you're looking at archival material that's unedited and you have some sense of contextual, that's actually engagement, and we need more of that. But it's true if we run into this Borgesian mirror generation where the biggest industry becomes ruminating over the past, forget it, you know.